This is an AMI podcast.
Hey guys, welcome along to another episode of Double Tap. It is Tuesday, it's the 19th of March 2024. Coming up today, Sean Preece, it is No Fluff Tuesday.
You're listening to Double Tap, your daily accessible technology show. Now, here's your hosts, Stephen Scott and Sean Preece.
How are you doing, Sean Preece?
I am beautiful, Stephen Scott. Slightly nervous about your new guarantee here. No Fluff Tuesday.
No guarantees. I will always say that there are no guarantees when it comes to this program, as you well know. But we're going to go for a No Fluff Tuesday approach today. This is our new thing that we're going to do today and today only. It's a one-time deal. We're going to dive right into stuff today. Dive right into stuff. No fluff, just stuff.
All killer, no filler. That's a guarantee.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And actually, I want to start with tech news. I know, very unusual.
Breaking news.
Not that the news is breaking, but that we are going to talk about tech news on this show.
Okay. Well, actually, what are we going to talk about? Because I've seen nothing, sir. So go on, surprise me.
Well, you know, it has been a bit quiet. Because the big thing, of course, this week for us is CSUN. That is ongoing at the moment, so we're going to get all the very latest news from that. We've had the big news yesterday about Be My Eyes. Lots of people excited about this. So we'll hear your take on that. Mike Buckley, of course, in conversation with us. You can check that out on the website as well if you want to catch the no-fluff version. No. Although there was quite a bit of fluff in amongst that, I'll be honest. There was fluff in there.
Yeah, but that wasn't
Mike has
us.
Some fluff.
Yeah, that
no,
was...
it was Mike Fluff.
Yes. Wow. Okay. Yes. www.
That sounds nice, actually.
Doubletaponair.com.
It's like a tartan. I like that. Yeah. Buckley Fluff.
I liked how he referred to me as a musician, actually. And I didn't pick him up on it. I just agreed
I'm meant to pick you up on this. I'm like, so hang on. What does that mean? You've picked up a guitar? I sat next to a piano once. Does that mean I'm a musician as well?
It's because in my background, in the shed, I do have a guitar. I don't think I've picked it up in 5 years, but that's not the point. Well done. Thank you, Mike.
You know, every so often, people will learn something about you in life. You know, this is the way it is, right? Even with your partner, you've maybe been with your partner for years, and then suddenly one day you learn something new, and you go, wow, I did not know that about this person. Here's something I bet you didn't know about me.
Oh.
At the age of 14 years old, I was a church organist.
Wow. I really don't know where to go with that.
It's true. I was a church organist at 14.
So you can play the keyboard?
No, I played the organ, which
What's
was
the
actually,
difference?
I think, well, I've got to say there's a skill to playing an organ because bear in mind, you're not playing one keyboard, you're playing two plus pedals.
So you're saying anyone that plays the keyboard basically isn't trying hard enough.
Amateur,
That's what. Oh, wait, I've got a terrible feeling we've strayed into fluff here.
Oh, we've done it. Oh, well, forget it. Okay, well, normal service has resumed.
Well done.
Okay, so I do want to talk about... people are going to be like, hang on, talk more about the organ thing. No. There's not much more to say than that. I did it for 2 years. And, you know, after about the age of 17, I didn't touch a piano again or an organ or anything else.
Have you touched one since?
I have.
Oh.
I actually bought a keyboard like 10 years ago with the intention of getting back in and then just couldn't get back in.
I think
it was one of those things that happens.
Have you still got it?
No.
Oh, you have, haven't you? You've got it somewhere.
Oh, I've got my original keyboard, my Yamaha keyboard.
You've got to give us a tune. That's got to happen.
It just sounds like something from the seaside at the moment. If you use that old keyboard, you know, because it's that kind of
plinky plonky.
You know, early.
That's what we
want. It's kind of early electric keyboard.
Okay, that's going to happen.
I think it was an HS200. I think that was the model number of it. I could be totally wrong.
Again, in danger of some fluff here, but yes.
Oh, no, this is tech. This is a keyboard, just in case, you know, in case he wakes up. just mention model numbers about things, you know. HS200. That sounds good.
Email in and let us know what you'd like Stephen to play for you. Feedback@doubletaponair.com.
That's right, we'll do requests. I feel the requests may not be musical. I will say that, you know, in the blind community, we all play the piano because that's the rule, as you know.
Play 'em or tune 'em.
It's the rule that we all have. true. But yeah, that was my thing. Anyway, shall we talk about actual tech news?
Because yes, there is please. A story. Let's try again.
There is a story in here which I think you might quite like. So you mentioned there's not a lot going on. CSUN, of course, Microsoft having an event this week. We'll see what that's all about later in the week. But Apple are in talks with Google, apparently, to build their Gemini artificial intelligence engine into the iPhone.
Ooh.
Now, this is according to people familiar with the situation. That sounds like a tentative link to
it
people.
It does, yes. A
people
tense
people
one
familiar
as well.
With the situation.
Okay. Somebody
but
said.
They're saying that this could basically be these two companies working together for Apple to license Gemini, which is Google's own generative AI model, or set of them, to power new features, some new features, coming to the iPhone this year. Now, the people who've been asked not to be identified, because they'd all be fired, no, it says because the deliberations are private, Apple have said that they've also held discussions with OpenAI. They have not said this, by the way. Apple have recently held discussions with OpenAI, apparently, and have considered using its model as well, according to the people. Now, this is interesting, because this feels a little bit like Stephen and Sean's way of doing things. You know, it's like we tried it. We thought, let's try building this thing.
Yeah.
And, do you know what? Let's just buy one.
It's too much hard work. Let's ask Michael Babcock to do it for us.
Yes. Exactly. That's right. Just get Babcock in. He'll fix it. And then we can just pass it off as ours and it'll be fine.
Well, I mean, to be fair, it makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, if we keep saying, okay, come on, Apple, you're lagging behind. Come on, Apple. Now, if they're not happy with where they're at with their AI, why not piggyback off another service that is working well? I mean, Google pays millions, if not billions, to be the search engine on every iPhone. So I'm sure there's some sort of scratch my back and etc. that could go on here, and it could all work out. It makes sense to me.
Well, I must admit, when you put it in that way, I suppose it makes more sense, because if you think about it in the sense of using Google for search, Apple didn't go out and create their own search function. They could have done. There was talk of them. I think there was talk of them buying Bing at one point.
Well, they want as much as they can under their in-house, basically, yeah, under their name. Of course they do. That's their whole raison d'etre. But I think this is a case of maybe they're playing catch up. Look, we've seen it before with when they were using the Intel chips. Who would have thought they would have gone to Intel? But the fact of the matter was they were working hard on Apple Silicon and just needed something there because it wasn't ready. And when they get their AI engine, if they decide to go down that avenue, then I can see them absolutely just dumping Google again and saying, here's ours, it's better. But in the meantime, to bridge that gap, because there's no denying that people are, everyone's talking about AI, and there is an actual use case for it. It is important that your smartphone, your OS, has AI in it. Otherwise, you are being, you know, you're missing out for your customers. So I can see this being a way to go.
Is it the case, though, that perhaps Apple are passing the buck a little bit here? Because, you know, let's be honest, generative AI is not perfect yet. And Apple have not shown their hand as yet with any of this. And obviously, Apple are very conscious of privacy issues. So there was even one article I read which suggested that, you know, the way it might present itself is, you know, you ask Siri, for example, for an answer to something, and it says, hey, I'm not sure, but let me check Gemini for you. And it goes off and sort of hands off to Gemini to give you the answer. And that might be the way that Apple gets around some of the issues that it has. It kind of almost passes it off to this third-party approach and says, you know, Gemini will give you the answer, or OpenAI will give you the answer. And it kind of takes them out of the loop.
Nothing to do with me.
Yeah, it kind of has that feel to it, you know? I don't know. I suppose if you look at it as this search example, then it makes a lot of sense. Because it's like, well, yeah, because of course they didn't build their own search engine, so they went out to Google and they got that, and that was it. And Google, you know, pays, you say, billions of dollars per year to have that access.
Yeah.
But I just wonder how people will feel about that. Cause I'd feel a little bit disappointed, because I kind of want to know what Apple would do. And there is certainly plenty of talk and rumour. Of course, it's all rumour at the moment. That's the thing. But there's still rumour that Siri will have new advanced features, but maybe it just won't be able to go as far as generative AI. And I wonder if this comes down to one simple fact, that you need a heck of a lot of data in order to build these excellent generative AI models. Now, they're not perfect yet. And that's another conversation. They're not perfect. They've got a long way to go. Hallucinations are still a thing. I think that, you know, I was watching Bill Maher the other night on his real-time show, and he was saying, you know, it just worries me that, you know, people are just allowing this stuff out into the world in the state that it's currently in. And we're just accepting these hallucinations. We're just accepting them. Oh, yeah, it's fine. But we've unleashed this thing on humanity. And, you know, there's talk of it being an existential threat to humanity.
Oh, yes, come on, though. I mean, this is just born out from decades of watching tragic sci-fi movies that everyone's so skeptical about AI, you know.
Still haven't seen Terminator, just saying.
Well, you've seen, what's it called, 2001 A Space Odyssey or whatever it is, with no. HAL the computer, right? Sorry, I can't
never seen
do that.
No.
Do you know why it was called HAL, by the way?
No. It's after Supernova.
It's after IBM. It's one letter down from IBM. H-A-L. IBM.
Oh.
Yeah, just a little tech factoid for you. Where was I going with this? No. Look, do you complain when you type a Google search and you get a result that is absolutely nothing to do with what you're looking for? You don't complain. You don't say, this is terrible. This shouldn't be out here. It's exactly the same.
It's not the same thing. That's totally different. Because it's presenting itself as an answer. So if it's giving you absolute garbage and tosh as a response. Yeah, but if it's saying to you, and I go back to that example that Michael gave with the Zoom H1 the other day when he took the picture. I mean, the device was not it was not clear at all from the second image description what on earth that thing was. So it was totally different information, but the difference is it's presenting itself as the answer. Whereas I think with search, you're getting a range of answers that you're choosing from. It's pretty clear that if you search for something and, you know, it's not the right answer, you think, okay, that's not the right one. We'll move on to the next one. It's presenting itself as the final answer. That's the issue I've got.
I suppose it depends how you approach it. I'd always take it with a little bit of cynicism that this is the correct answer. I wouldn't 100% trust AI ever.
If you're a company like Apple and you're focused on privacy first, you don't necessarily want to be mining users' data. Certainly they don't want to be doing that in order to train these systems. But in a way, you need all this data in order for it to function. Now, it could be that perhaps it attaches itself inside your system. So maybe on your iPhone, it's all your data stored on your device and all the processing power is going on in device. And it's using your data inside your device, inside that kind of walled garden of its own, to be able to do this and then create a very personalized Siri for you. Maybe that's a way to do it, and maybe it reaches out to something like Gemini and gets the answer. I'm not actually against that when I think about it in that way, because then as long as it's clear and as long as there are clear lines from where the information is coming from, and I feel Apple will do that, they will be pretty clear on that. But I think equally I would have rather seen a more powerful and more capable Siri on its own, because I feel if you are concerned about privacy, and I know you're not, but if people are concerned about privacy, and I am actually, then I would want something, I would want that choice. But I fear at the moment the choices are, you know, reasonably good, say 80, 90% accuracy based on, you know, lots of data from OpenAI and Google, who are creating these current ones. And of course, X is about to launch theirs as well, or have already launched Grok as well.
Pardon?
And of course, what's coming from Grok. That's the name of the X one.
Is it?
Did you know that?
No.
I think so. Yeah, it's Grok.
Okay, good. Yeah. Good to know.
You have to sign up to Twitter Plus or X Plus or whatever it's called. So I'm not doing that.
It depends. I agree with you. Talking of sort of preconceived trust here, we've got a preconception that Apple are going to be very tight on privacy. We just assume that. So I think that's a safe assumption with everything we've seen so far when it comes to Apple.
Mm.
But there's no... How are we going to see this implementation? Is it going to be... You know what? As you said, it could be spun up locally. This could all just run on device. And maybe what we're going to see is the Gemini LLM being used. So all it's going to use that for, basically, is... is understanding the question better that we're asking. Because Siri, it's you know, absolutely terrible. You know, call so-and-so and it's it'll do a Google search or whatever. The context awareness isn't great. So if they're going to use it just to get that interface going, so the natural voice going, then I'm all for it. And maybe Siri is going to be absolutely amazing for changing settings on your device or doing things internally. And let's not forget, it's doing a lot of this stuff already. Even though that forward-facing bit of, you know, when we activate her, it's not a great experience. All those Siri suggestions in the background, all those things like when a message comes in and on your keyboard it says, hey, maybe you want to enter this PIN code from this message you've just got. There's a lot going on in there, and Siri's doing quite a lot anyway, which is quite advanced. So even in
the audio sense, like in the voice isolation modes,
yeah,
there's a lot of AI work going on there, things you wouldn't necessarily associate with it. That's why I think Apple are always keen not to use the term AI and use machine learning.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
That seems in some ways more appropriate to those features. That's,
yes.
That seems like the right way to talk about them.
It is, yeah. So maybe it's not even a case of they're going to piggyback off another AI service to actually, you know, use it for answering questions. And maybe it is just purely for the interfacing, the human interface aspect, the language aspect of it.
Have you tried Gemini yet?
I haven't. No.
No, neither have I. I keep going to ChatGPT for all my sort of questions
and
answers.
Sorry to butt in, but let me stop you there. Why are you going to AI? Do you remember when all the voice assistants came out, Google, Siri and everything, and of course, the Echo? It was all about, what's the weather today? Do I need an umbrella? Is it snowing out, right? And that was it. And everyone jumped on. It's like, oh, is it? What's the weather today? And then after about a day of that, it was like, okay, whatever. And now we just use it sparingly to answer questions. How do I spell that? What's this math problem answer? You know, whatever it may be. Mm. What are you going to AI to actually do?
Web searches.
That's interesting. Such as, give me an example.
Well, I think I mentioned this the other day, or maybe I was just talking to you. We have so many conversations.
Yeah.
I can't tell.
Sometimes we press record, sometimes we don't. Yes.
Exactly, that's right. Sometimes we re-record shows. I don't know who does that, but apparently it happens. And we were talking about, I wanted to get a Mac. I was kind of playing around with this idea of buying an old iMac that had a DVD drive in it because I was thinking of getting one for just ripping my CDs, you know, just having an old Mac to do that.
That's right,
and
yeah.
I wanted to know which Mac or iMac model last had a CD drive. And I thought, this is a great question to ask AI. So I asked the question and it came back with this amazing answer, which was, yep, mid-2011 was the last time that a iMac had a DVD drive. So immediately I'm on Amazon having a look to see what I can get. And then I'm thinking, hang on, is that the one you can upgrade the RAM on? So I went back and I said, can I upgrade the RAM on this iMac? And yes, you can. The 2011 iMacs have this capability. You were able to do this up until this point. Do you want some instructions? And I thought, this is really cool. This is the kind of thing for me that it becomes really useful for. And again, I take these answers with a little bit of a pinch of salt as well, because I think just in case, which of course this is where you add in things like Be My AI into the mix. It's funny, we're just relying on AI for everything. So it's like, you know, Be My AI to take the image from Amazon to say, does this have a DVD drive in it? Can you see a DVD drive in this image? And it said yes. So, you know, that I think is really cool. So I'm using it for a lot of different things, I suppose.
So why would you go to different ones? That's the thing. Do you notice a difference between them? I totally agree with you. And I think I mentioned the other day, I was looking for a laser printer and I asked Pi, the personal AI, I asked Pi to give me a recommendation. Now, the reason I asked Pi over anything else is because I know it's up to date. I know it will go off and it will search the internet and give me up to date. Whereas with ChatGPT, I can't remember what year the cutoff point, but I know it's not going to give me a up to date answer. So
unless it's GPT-4, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's, which is a paid for.
Which you've got to pay for. Yeah,
exactly right. But I'm not too sure about the other ones out there. I'm not sure how Gemini works. I'm not sure about even if I use Copilot on the on my Windows computer. Well, that I think that's up to date. But there's still a little bit. Which one are we going to? Give us the best
Copilot
experience.
Is up to date because the Copilot consumer version is basically replaced Bing Chat.
That's right. Yes, you're right.
When Bing came, because they kept renaming everything, and they've all been sort of scrambling to get a brand behind this. So Copilot, you know, Gemini, ChatGPT. It feels like ChatGPT could do with a new name. And it really does feel like ChatGPT was like the working title, you know, in quotes somewhere.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Could do with a better name than ChatGPT. Yes. Yeah, call it something else.
Skynet, yeah.
Yeah.
Something friendly, yeah.
That's right. Something that won't terrify us all. But I just find it interesting. I must delve into Gemini a bit more to see how good it is. But, you know, going by the descriptions I've been getting from Jaws Picture Smart AI, which is looking at Gemini and OpenAI results, that is actually quite interesting. The Gemini results are pretty good. So, you know, that's interesting to me. And it seems to give me information in a much more succinct way. So I must delve into it more because I haven't played around much with Gemini. I keep kind of going between Copilot to an extent, although I haven't used much of it. Mm-hmm. I suppose for me, I love Microsoft to bits. I think they do a great amount of work, but it does feel like every time I go near a Microsoft product, I feel like I need to wear a suit.
Well, I've got to say, I downloaded the Copilot app for the iPhone, and the answers it gave me were really good. And it didn't cut off or truncate any answers. It seemed to be up to date. It was very, very good. The user interface for a screen reader user was just a bit, bit clunky, a bit. And it would start telling you the answer, and then VoiceOver would start reading the answer over the top of it. And it's like, it just spoils the experience of actually how good the Copilot AI actually is. So for me, again,
I'm going to get into Gemini.
Right,
I'm
going to
see how this thing works. That's, I want to know how that one behaves and test it out on the web and on the apps as well. And we'll let you know how we get on. Okay, let's move on because so many emails coming in. So many emails, Sean.
Email. We get email. We get your email.
Play along, Stephen.
Here's your mail today.
No.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
Not singing today.
Why?
I don't know. I just didn't feel like it.
Oh, okay. Sorry, is that too fluffy? Yeah, of course. Yeah,
yes,
no singing.
No
yeah.
Fluff Tuesday, remember?
Okay, let's get straight on to the email. Serious business.
Let's start with a voicemail from Matt.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Oh, good morning.
Hello? This is Matt Ader from the United States, and I wanted to congratulate you on a great interview with Ryan Jones from Vispero.
Yay!
Talking about the new feature called Picture Smart AI, period. Did I just say period because I'm talking to a text message or because I'm clueless on how to leave a voicemail these days? My only question for you is, or I guess a comment maybe for Sean, is Sean said that he had not played around with Picture Smart AI yet, and I wanted to find out, did they add that to NVDA or not? Because last time I checked, he's not a JAWS user. Hope you ever guys have a great day and talk soon.
Yeah, Sean, you're not a JAWS user. How can you dare speak about such things?
Unbelievable.
That's Matt Ader there from Vispero.
Yes.
Calling in under a listener pseudonym.
To have a go at Sean. Unbelievable. Hello,
quite
Matt.
Right.
Firstly, well done on dictating punctuation. Welcome to the club. We've all done it.
Yes. Well done.
You are a hero, sir. And no, I don't use JAWS, but that's not to say I don't install JAWS every now and again, 40-minute demo version, to try out these new features, because it is very interesting to me, and I do think it's very good features. All right? I just use NVDA. Matt, come on now. Get over it. It's all fine. And I believe NVDA does have an add-on to give that kind of ability using AI to describe images. Although
a little bit more complicated, though, right?
Exactly what I was just going to say. Although nowhere near as easy and straightforward as the Picture Smart AI implementation. I'm quite happy to say that. There is nothing wrong with JAWS.
No, no, definitely. I mean, the NVDA one requires an OpenAI key, which means you, I guess, have to pay.
Yes.
So, and I guess, I mean, a lot of people are not going to have a clue how to get to that. It took me ages to figure out what an API key was, never mind where to put it. I was checking around my desk. Is there a key
I dropped it somewhere? Yes.
Is it on my key ring? Where is this key? Well, how do I get it into the computer? Does it fit into the USB slot?
Yes. Very good, though. Check out Picture Smart AI.
Thank you, Matt. Great to hear from you. And yes, it was a great interview. You can check it out on our website as well at doubletaponair.com. Now, Darren has got in touch regarding Glidance, or a chat with Amos Miller, the CEO.
Hello, this is Darren from Bexley in Kent. Just to say that I enjoyed the interview on the Glidance device. I'm all for it because I have mobility challenges. I have oxygen blindness, so that does affect my orientation in a big way. I'm a long cane user, although I don't tend to go out on my own now. Basically, anything that can help with that sort of thing can give you the extra assurance. Even just to nudge you in the right direction is a good thing. Yes, you might need a bit of training just to get your orientation to know where things are, depending on, I don't know how much or how little this thing is going to tell us yet, but I'm all in favour of anything that can assist us in any way in that sort of area. Not everyone can have a guide dog. There seems to be a shortage of guide dogs. Some people might be allergic to dogs, or some people might not like dogs for whatever reason. Or some people might just prefer to have a device rather than a dog. So I think the more choice we got, the better. Bring it on. This is Darren saying bye for now. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Darren. You know, it's funny because I was in exactly the same position for many years. I always used to say I'd love to have a guide dog that I could unplug at the end of an evening and put it in the cupboard and then bring it out the next morning and carry on, you know.
So they took it off you.
So they never gave me it. I was never allowed a guide dog again after that. But no, you know, you kind of want that functionality. I just don't know if I'm seeing the results yet that are actually...
Oh, come on, we're nowhere near.
No, that's what I mean. It's like we're not kind of there yet, you know. But this Glidance thing seems to have caught a lot of people's attention. I wonder if it's a lot of it is because there's a blind developer behind it.
Amos was very good, I've got to say. But there was one thing I picked up on, was where he mentioned the amount of people that actually, with a blindness or visual impairment, that actually don't go outside on their own. The number was quite high. And the amount of people that don't pick up a stick or get a guide dog. Now, we've talked about this many times, my hesitancy about using a white cane, you know, keeping it hidden for the longest time, the ID cane, the symbol cane that I used to carry around and making sure I didn't get it out on the street. Now, is that going to be any different with this device? I mean, I worry about people don't want to sort of signpost themselves, right? This is something you're pushing around in front of you, or is, you know, guiding you this is a strange looking device in my head, at least. Is that going to put people off? Do we want to stand? We've talked about wearing headsets. We've talked about, you know, putting those signs over your head saying bus, taxi, or I need help. We've talked about people hesitancy about picking up a white stick because we don't want to stand out in a crowd. And getting over that is difficult. Is that going to be a hurdle for this?
I think it is. I think it is. I think that's the problem I have with all of this stuff, is that it kind of just makes us stand out even more. I feel I stand out enough. But weirdly, there is something, you know, okay, not everybody understands the cane, for sure. Not everybody understands it. Not everybody knows what it's for. A lot of people have no clue at all. I remember the time going on a cruise ship and the guy who was leading us on to the ship grabbed the end of the cane and almost like was pulling me along with
yes.
it. Yes. And I'm like, you have no idea what you're doing with this. And I had to stop him. I'm like, hang on, you cannot do that. Because this is my eyes on the ground, essentially. And you can't do that. And so, you know, he was like, I'm really sorry, but he didn't understand the purpose of the cane. And a lot of people don't understand it. But at least to some degree, the majority of people that I've met have a sense of what it is. It's for blindness, right? So they understand that. If you suddenly bring in a vacuum cleaner to the mix and sort of wander around the streets with a vacuum cleaner pushing it around, I think you're going to get some interesting looks and, you know, some interesting conversations.
Yeah, but who cares? Who cares if it's making a difference to your mobility? If it means that you're more confident in getting out and about, who cares about that? And that's what I want to say, but the truth of the matter is that I cared for years about that. Mm-hmm. I didn't want people to look at me that way. I didn't want to signpost myself. So it's all well and good for people saying, I don't... Honestly, people do care. And I just think that people, and I don't mean to do it a disservice by, well, you said, actually, let me throw you under the bus. You said a vacuum cleaner, but I've heard it described as, you know, like pushing a lawnmower in front of you and things like that. And
it's still in development.
Of course,
so let's
it
be fair,
is. You know, of course, it's but
it's not
still,
the finished version.
It's still going to be in that sort of form factor. We're talking a handle with a base unit on it with wheels on it. So you're still pushing that thing in front of you in, to some degree. So that form factor.
Let me throw this at you then, right? Because there's another side to this, which is let's imagine we managed to get something. I've heard people say this before. I'd love something I could hold in my hand, which kind of acts as a cane. It has a sensor in it that kind of. You know, I can walk around, I can hold this thing almost like a torch, and I can sort of, you know, use it as a cane without it actually being visible to other people.
Yeah, the mini guide. Yeah.
Yeah, but is that a solution? Because I wonder if that creates a whole new problem. Because, this is why when people say, why do you talk, you kind of drift off tech so much? Because our discussions around tech become social conversations. It's not as simple as this is a piece of tech and this is a solution to it. This is where the developers, I think, get it wrong. They say, oh, yeah, this is great. It's going to work really well. Yeah, but there's a social issue to that. So that becomes, if we create or someone creates something that is handheld, that is something that fits in the palm of your hand, that no one else can see, you only know you've got it in your hand and it's guiding you, in quotes, that creates a whole new social situation when you go into a store or you ask for assistance and they say, well, what's wrong with you? And I've had that many a time. In the
absolutely
early days, I had that
right.
A lot. And how do you get around that?
Yeah. And why do you want to hide it? Again, we're coming back to why did I feel that sense of shame about
that
disability?
Right. That's true.
And my life changed completely when I started using the cane. Because, as you said, the majority of people know exactly what the situation is, with no words being exchanged. And everything just was better. A better experience, less tense, less awkward, less aggression in some cases, like here's a drunk fella walking into me and things like that. Life was so much better when I did signpost my disability, but it was hard to get there. And I just think that a lot of people are still going to be there. And it's a tricky one. And it's like, again, this is just isn't about the guidance device. We've had this discussion about every sort of wearable piece of tech for mobility out there. I think it is still something that needs to be taken into consideration.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you on this. I'm kind of getting closer to the, I'm kind of almost getting a little bit louder about not being ashamed of being blind. But equally, I'm not on the blind pride game, right? I'm just not into that. That just doesn't do anything for me.
The thing is, you can't guilt people.
I'm not ashamed of
that. Because I went through that for years and years and years, and then I felt guilty about being ashamed of it. I mean, you can't win. It's just something you go through. It depends, I suppose, how you're losing your vision and everything.
I think people have to understand there are a range of emotions attached to this, and that's normal. That is the norm. You're going to go through so many different, and sometimes you can go through those emotions in one day. You know, you could have a really great day where you've had a really great experience. You get in a taxi and someone says something to you like, oh, you're so inspirational, or oh, I can't believe you're out of the house. And you just think, oh, and it takes you right back. Or there's a family member who just doesn't quite get it and irritates you because of it. And you just can't seem to, and you know, you could have the best day ever and they just can't, they just bring you down. That can happen. All these emotions can happen in one day. It's called life. It is. It's called life.
That's true. It's not.
And I think, and sometimes we have to kind of try and reverse out of it a little bit and say, do you know what, this everybody goes through this in different degrees. We're not unique because we're blind in that sense. We don't have these unique experiences. We just have our experiences. But someone who has cancer will have all those days. Someone who has MS will have all those days. Someone who's deaf will have all those days. Someone who is a single parent, someone who's coming out as gay, will have those days. It's not unique to us.
Or any human being will just have those days.
Or any human being, exactly. You know, and I think that sometimes we can divide ourselves off, and I was very guilty of that in the early days. You know, this is only happening to me, and it only happens to, and then it kind of breeds from that. It kind of breeds from, it's only happening to me, to it only happens to my people, and, you know, only us, we are the, you know, this people in this group, we're the only ones affected by this. And it's not. It's just people. We all have issues. We all have challenges. And that's why I get so annoyed sometimes at the militant approach of some advocates out there who want the world to revolve around them. And it's like, that's not how the world works. You got to be kind and fair to other people because you don't know what they're going through. Just because they don't have a disability doesn't mean they're having a great day. Doesn't mean their life is amazing. They might be worrying on how they're going to feed their kids tonight, or you know, worry about where the next paycheck's coming from, or you know, worry about endless other things that you just don't know about.
Yeah,
I think being fair to people I think that takes the heat out of it for you as an individual. Because why do you want to walk around angry all the time?
Yeah.
Why do you want to walk around ready to have an argument all the time? I've been there. I've done it. It's not a great way to live. It just isn't. But I understand where it comes from. And you have to almost go through it to understand what it feels like on the other side. And that's why I say to people, if you have got that anger in you, if you do have an anger about the social side of it, getting out there, you've got to kind of allow yourself that anger as well. You've got to use that. Try and, you know, keep it to yourself as much as possible, but allow yourself that anger.
Yeah.
As I said before, I had that radio studio that I could go into and just scream at the soundproof walls, and it was great. Not everyone has that, I admit, but, you know, it's...
Wow, that was a long answer to that email.
But it does highlight the social impact of this kind of tech as well.
No, absolutely.
It does have an impact on us. I want to just... We really need to go to a break. Mr. F is going to be very annoyed.
Sorry, Mr. F.
I just want to say one more thing, because there's a flip side to this whole you know, experience with tech outdoors, and it was someone who was telling me they had bought eSight, you know, the headset, and
yes.
They had gone out to they were going out to wander around their town, and they were using eSight to see what they wanted to see what they had to see. And I was having the conversation with that person, saying, you know, how did you feel, because you're walking around with this, you know, weird headset thing on, you know, did it feel weird? And she said, you know, the amount of people who stopped me and talked to me about it and were really positive, she said, it made me actually feel good, because she said, no one ever talked to me before.
That's a fair
and
point.
I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah.
That was really interesting. Some people don't get much human connection.
No.
And, you know, for that, sometimes this can maybe be a way of engaging. It's not always a bad thing. Might not be for me, but it could be for someone else. So,
it's an icebreaker.
You know, that's why there's no such thing as one true opinion, right? Because mm-hmm. there just isn't. We all have different perspectives. We all have different wants, needs, and all the rest. So, yeah, some of us might not like the idea of a guide dog, because we don't want a dog, you know, that people are always talking to all the time. That, I think that would drive me mad.
Yes.
But I know other people who just absolutely adore it. Yeah. So, but a robot? Can you make it look like a dog? I mean, can you make it actually look like a dog? I think that'd be cool.
That would be
like,
scary.
Give it fur.
No, that's just weird. Again,
I want that.
No fluff.
And then I want to watch someone watch me plug it in. I think that would be hilarious. What's he doing to that dog?
I think it's time for a break. Quickly.
And then its eyes light up red,
right,
when
quickly.
It's charging. Oh, this is genius.
Hit the outro.
Follow Double Tap on social media at Double Tap On Air, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and email us feedback@doubletaponair.com. We'll be right back. Call the Double Tappers now, 1-877-803-4567, or email us feedback@doubletaponair.com.
Hey folks, this is CeCe on the line from Montreal, and it's interesting to hear about the various cane and robot technologies to replace the cane. But how about this? If you sighted folk and engineers want to do something to help blind and low vision people, how about making a cane that's at least 145 centimeters long, weighs no more than 100 grams, and can be run over by a car and will simply spring back up and resume its shape? Now, that would be a development that many people could benefit from.
Yes.
Me in particular, having lost many canes underfoot and under wheel of car, truck, and bicycle. So there's a thought for all of you. Thanks for the show.
That is such a good point, CeCe. Thank you for that.
Yeah,
no,
you laughed at that. You laughed at that. But remember when we were talking about this, and I said, I want Tesla to design a cane. I think he's absolutely right. I think there's so much more that can be done with the cane in its current form factor. I'm not talking about adding tech to it. I just mean from an engineering point of view. I just feel like there's still some places that we can go with the cane. And I would love... Yeah,
I'm not laughing at his idea. I'm laughing because I've had so many canes break.
Yes.
For exactly that reason. And I would love that. A cane that can just snap back in. I mean, this is exactly... You know, you've kind of hit on something there, CC. That's exactly what we want. We want an improvement to the existing device, but that doesn't mean adding smarts to it. It means making it more rigid or more capable as a device, maybe more... You know, tactile. You know, through the feedback that the cane gives, because some of them are better than others. You know, some of the Ambitech ones are good, but some of the carbon fibers better, fiberglass. You know,
yeah, material science. Graphite. Yeah, there's a lot of places we can go with this, and there's been some advances. I want a graphite cane. I don't know what that is, but I hear about it a lot.
I don't want to stick a robot in it. You know, I just don't think that's the answer. You know, I genuinely don't think it is for a white cane. Because it just takes away from what the purpose of the white cane is. I don't want Google search results on it. I just want it to, you know, tell me when I'm on rough terrain or not, you know? Tell me where I am. Yeah. Tell me where the edge of the curb is.
Yeah, and not to make such a big bang when I hit a car with it on the pavement.
Oh, no, I quite like that.
That'd be nice. And that's an interesting thing. Now, my partner, Sarah, she will hammer any car on there. I mean, I run away. Whereas I am very delicate if I think there's a car in front. You know, you get that sense. You know what I'm talking about. That sixth sense almost that, oh, there's something in front of me. And I will gently reach out with my stick and I will feel around. Where do you sit on this? Do you think you've got to be very delicate around these?
No.
I'm not saying you should deliberately, you know, smash its wing mirrors off.
No.
I'm just saying, Sarah doesn't care. She will. Shouldn't be there in the first place, and I'm not going to be gentle around
it. Yeah, and
she
can't see it.
No, I know she can't see it, but once you know it's there, I mean, you know.
You keep whacking it. Yeah, I must admit, after the 16th time of whacking the side out of this car, maybe
when
maybe
you stood
point,
on
the
roof
taking the
swinging
mic.
Your cane down on the bonnet. I think it's fine now.
When I said take out the aggression, that's not what I'm talking about, okay? That's not the way to do it. Unless it's your car, don't do that.
I got to say, I walked past a van the other day that was so close. I was so far onto the sidewalk and close to the wall that I had to go sideways. Okay, whatever. It doesn't really bother me that much. But then I hit the wing mirror, which was sticking out a mile and was absolutely massive. And just for a split second, I was just like, I want to punch that wing mirror.
Yeah.
But it's so annoying, right? And it's just something because you deal with it every single day. And at some point, you're going to snap.
Especially if you're constantly walking into things. I think that there is a real... why is it that walking into something can cause so much rage? I walk into... So my office door in here, it sometimes just swings halfway open. You know, if it's just off the...
The nemesis of the
I'll turn around and walk into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of halfway... And I walk into it. And I said to my wife, I said, that door is going to come off the hinges one day. Because I'm not a light guy. And I walk into that with quite a force... And I just half expect this door to just be hanging off.
I know. I've got so many stripes down the middle of my forehead where I've walked into the side of a door. And I think, how fast was I walking?
why is it so enraging? I don't know if it's... I don't know. I'm not...
I usually get angry at myself. I get frustrated.
Yeah,
but in the case of something that shouldn't be there, or if something's there and I walk into it, then I do... Yeah, I can get angry.
Where I used to work, there was a cross point. So just a little crosswalk. And when I would be crossing over, the cars wouldn't stop. And it used to just really annoy me because they're supposed to stop at this zebra crossing. It's in the UK. I think they call them crosswalks elsewhere. And there's no traffic lights. There's just a little strip on the road. But cars are supposed to stop, and they often didn't. And it was always for some reason in this one particular place. They would just ignore it almost every time. And there was one occasion I was just crossing the road and the car crossed in front of me to the extent that the car actually hit the cane. So the cane bounced back off me.
Mm.
As that's how close the car was as it passed in front of me. And I just whacked the back of that car. I was like,
like a javelin through the back window.
Yeah. And the car stopped. And you know that split second you think this is going to go south very quickly.
Yes.
But the person got out and was hugely apologetic. I didn't see you. And I said, do you need this? Do you want this cane?
Because you're going to get it. That.
Yeah. So if you want, and you know, you'll always have a reminder because it's embedded in the back of your car. But yeah, I mean, it happens. You know, it does happen. And anyway, look, let's move on.
Sorry,
let's,
just quickly before we do, I just want to say, do you put the lanyard around your wrist on your cane? Because I always worry about that. If it does get run over and dragged, I'm going to get dragged along with it. I never use the lanyard. Anyway, sorry.
That and also, you know, when you're walking along sometimes and it jabs you, I'm often conscious of the jabbing with the cane.
Yeah.
So I don't want it around my wrist because I think I'm going to get impaled by this thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I, you know, I'll be honest, I'm not keen on that idea. There I said.
Okay, strange. Carry on.
I know. I'm so unique. Okay, let's go to Camille, who wants to talk tech. Strange, right? Here's Laura.
Stephen mentioned that he prefers listening to podcasts and other mediums using the Humaneware Victor Stream because using that device means not being interrupted. There are many different settings on the iPhone, and maybe Stephen is not aware of the Focus one. Focus allows to control how the Do Not Disturb function is used. I have it set up so that when I use Overcast to listen to Double Tap, I do not get notifications, but calls can come through. I prefer using one device to do as much as possible. Happy tapping, Camille.
Now, that's interesting, Camille. So you're saying that when you open up Overcast, that setting kicks in. Is that right?
Well, I must admit, I haven't used Focus in a long time, but I remember when it was first released. I'm pretty sure you can set it per app. So yes, I think that's absolutely right.
I didn't know that. I did not know. I know about Focus Mode, but I didn't know you could set it per app. That is pretty cool.
It's something we should look into again, because I've got to say, when I first used Focus, because I thought it was a good idea, and you can allow certain calls through, as Camille said there, and you can hide notifications, I didn't find it that reliable. Sometimes it wouldn't allow phone calls through, or it would allow phone calls that weren't in my allowed list through. So I had a few difficulties with it, and I just stopped using it. Now, maybe that's improved because I haven't used it in a long time.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I'm going to look into that. There's so many things you can do with it. Is this, you feel often with all these devices, like a surface level of understanding. But
no,
there's
exactly
so much more
right.
under the hood we don't even touch. And you just think Focus is Focus, right? Oh, it's just a, you know, do not disturb, basically on or off. But no, there's so much more you can do with it.
And I will say, look, if you want to look into something like this, just Google it. Don't use AI, but you can do. But just Google like Focus Mode and Apple support, because Apple have great articles on this stuff and they will give you step-by-step guides. It's definitely worth
it. Just reminded me of something. Yeah, I always like to mention this where I can because I get such a good experience with it. But Apple support have an app that you can download on your phone and you can start chats with them, right? So you can have a chat conversation, but the way it's done is it's very much like iMessage. In fact, it works into iMessage. So once you start a chat with them, and I'm talking text chat here, you can have that conversation with them and then you can go into your iMessage app and your conversation continues in there. Now that means that if you've got the Mac, for example, you can just go to the Messages app and have a conversation. I found this so useful.
That's
we were having
really
some issues.
Cool.
Oh, it's amazing. And you can have this conversation. They're always there. They're always available for chat. It is the best chatbot I've ever used. And apologies to Mike Buckley, because I know he's also developing the best chatbot ever.
Hang on, it's a chatbot, so it's not an actual person.
Oh, sorry, it's not a chatbot. It's a chat with a human.
Okay.
But it's in the chat style, right? So you're kind
it's
of just having
interface.
A text chat with them.
Yeah.
Amazing. Just
What's
so
that
good.
Called?
So it's Apple Support. That's the app. You can download. But like I say, you can start the chat on the phone. I struggle to type on the phone. So for me, going to the Mac is easier. And that means because it shows up as a chat in your iMessages or in Message app, then you can go in there and you can continue the chat from there. Just like a regular text message conversation.
Very nice.
Really, really cool. And very accessible, obviously, as well. So yeah, really, really nice. Okay, thank you for that, Camille. I'm going to check that out. That's brilliant. Frank has got a question about diaries.
Hi. I'm trying to come to terms with the Diary Come Appointments app on my iPhone. I'm finding it quite hard as there seems to be so many different diaries, i.e. work, Outlook and more. Is there a simple diary for keeping appointment dates and time? I have been told that NVDA has an app for appointment dates and times, but have not had the nerve to try it yet, as I'm just starting to use NVDA. I have a number of CDs that need marking so I can find out what they are. I used a Dymo gun that produced Braille, but have broken three of them. And using Dymo tape with a Perkins machine and getting the backing tape off before sticking to an object is very fiddly. Max Bygraves had a song called You Need Hands. I think the words should now be revamped to say you need hands to eat your KFC with, you need hands to eat those fish and chips, you need hands to order up a Chinese, and you need hands to scoop up all the extra bits. In my humble opinion, the hardest food to eat is a salad. But to get at least some of my five a day, I go for a kebab. You can at least eat them with your hands. Happy greasy hands, Frank.
Happy greasy hands to you, Frank.
Happy greasy hands, Frank. Ooh, okay, where do we want to start on this? Labelling CDs or the calendar app, which I must admit, I'm not that au fait with. The way I use the calendar app, Frank, is simply by using Lady S, let's call her, because you can't just say her name anymore because that triggers her as well. I use the...
Everyone's triggered these days.
It's ridiculous. Using the voice assistant on the phone, I simply say, make an appointment for Tuesday the 19th of March at the hairdresser's. And then I do it that way. And then if I want to know what's coming up, you know, what's coming up in my calendar this week or what's happening today, I always use it using the voice assistant. I very rarely go in there. I think that's your wheelhouse, Stephen.
Well, I mean, I use Outlook every day for everything. And I find across the Mac, the PC, the phone, it's a pretty decent app to use. But you're looking for a simple calendar. Now, if you're using iCloud, and you've got the iPhone, then you will see a number of different calendars in there, which you can disable. You can go in, there's a tab at the bottom middle of the screen on the calendar app, and it's called Calendars. You just double tap that, and it will bring up all the calendars, and there's stuff in there you don't need, and you can deselect them. So it will create its own calendars, and it kind of layers them all together. So visually, you can see all these different calendars together, but you can remove those layers. So for example, holidays, birthdays. There's even one called Siri Suggestions. So for example, if someone sends you an email and there's a calendar invite in there or a date in the email, it will sort of create automatically a suggestion for, hey, you might want a meeting at this, you know, whatever. You can turn all that off. You can get rid of all that stuff. And you can just have the one calendar you want. You know, we're going to be on holiday in a couple of months and we've set up a holiday calendar. So it's just specifically for the holiday. So we've got a track of our agenda, our plans, our itinerary for the trip. And, you know, that's something that I can share. I can share that with my wife. I can share that with the family so people can see where we're at each day. And it's really cool, but it's separate from your main calendar. You can do lots of things like that. But there is another app out there which does connect to your Apple Calendar, and it's called VO Calendar, and it's built for us. £4, so whatever that relates to in real money in Canada, but that is available on the App Store, VO Calendar. And it was a friend of mine, Ian, who actually told me about it. It was a brilliant suggestion. Such an accessible app, because what you get on screen is basically your week view, your 7 days. And as you tap on a day, it will tell you all the events in that day. You don't have to scroll through anything. You don't have to go through anything. You just tap on the day and it will read all the events out. You can add events. You can record a memo to attach. So you don't even have to type anything. You can just record a memo and it will attach it to that day. It's a really cool, very simple app, but it's very effective, and it's something I use every day for just checking what's on my calendar, because that can sometimes be the biggest nightmare. Now, in terms of diary, if you're looking for something more like a diary, I would check out Gordon's demo that we did on the Journal app, because the Journal app is something which I think a lot of people are starting to move towards for that diary function, which obviously has the potential to add more dates and relevant information for those dates in. So check that out. That's on our website, doubletaponair.com. And that might be worth looking out just to see if that's closer to what you're looking for. Let us know how you got on though, Frank, because I've been intrigued to see how you got on with that. And as for labeling, yeah, I mean, the best label that I've seen is way too expensive. It was the 6-dot label maker. I think it's called Label Printer. Basically, that's what it is. It's a label printer, kind of akin to a more professional Dymo. Remember those those Dymos you could get that were like little typewriters? You would type the thing in and you'd hit enter and it would actually print out the label.
Oh, they sound posh. I only had the cheap plastic one with a little dial that you had to turn around.
That's what most people had, right?
And
I had
one
of those as well.
After about a week every single time. And it wasn't particularly cheap. It should have been like $2 and I think it was around like $50 and it always broke. It was awful.
Well, these ones are a little bit more technical. I mean, the Dymo ones anyway, but you can get a Braille version of that called the 6-dot label maker or label printer. The problem for me is that it costs over $1,000. It's like $1,500 to buy
worth it.
In Canada. Wow. I am, and you know, outside of the, you know, you can, it's a, it, wherever you look at, it's over $1,000. $1,000 wherever you are, it's over $1,000. which is just ridiculous, I think, for what it is. I think it's a great device, But if that was 250 quid, I would imagine that's the blind price for that kind of device versus the sort of cited equivalent, shall we say, which is maybe $50. I'd say 250 is probably the right price because that's, you know, it's a unique product. I get that. But over $1,000 for a label maker?
You better be in business or in education.
Exactly. You need to be running a business to make that worthwhile for yourself. And I just don't see the value in that. But that's the one I know of that's good.
Are you seeing AI? And if that can't read the funny font on a cover or a CD cover or whatever, I've had so many really interesting conversations with people on Be My Eyes. Just going through my list of CDs. Hey, can you tell me what this is? Oh, I've got that one. It's definitely worth a go. But yeah, it's
I've heard
easy.
That myself. I've heard people who have these conversations and people love it.
Yeah.
You know, like people you connect with. Not, I mean, obviously blind people who are connecting love having the conversation, but even the sighted people are connecting too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think we forget that with the Be My Eyes volunteers. It's like they actually want to do this. Yeah. Some of them are desperate for a call. You know, it's like, please, no one's called me yet. So, you know, they really, really want to feel like, so, you know, it's like, well, let's use this service for that kind of thing. And like you say, and the great thing is if it doesn't work out with one, you can hang up and call another. And that's the joy.
Yep.
Although I've yet to hear anybody, we are dry, but I've yet to hear anybody complain.
No.
On social media, where everyone complains, the world's largest collection of complaining people.
Yeah,
never complain about Be My Eyes volunteers. Found that interesting. Anyway, look, back tomorrow with lots more. Check out our website for all the details of everything we do. Sean, thank you. We'll catch you tomorrow.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Jenny Bovard. Join me monthly for Low Vision Moments, where I speak with awesome guests about some of the amusing things that happen when you're blind or partially sighted. Watch on YouTube or download Low Vision Moments from your favorite podcast distributor.